الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصوم جنة ما لم يخرق ما لم يخرقها، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. With regard to wudu, which we were discussing, and after washing, the making masa, then comes the washing of the legs. Naturally, the first leg, the right leg, we should wash first. And it should start from the toes, the washing of the legs, coming towards the heel, and then above the ankles as well. And when washing the toes, very, very important, if we don't pay attention, again, the same rule applies. Those who are careful of the wuzu, always when they make wuzu, they will pay attention to it. But sometimes when they also are in a hurry, and it happens to everyone sometimes, in a hurry we have to make wuzu, time is short, whatever reason, and then we seem to miss out at that time. And just as I mentioned, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were always particular, naturally, but on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, when they were making wudu, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned and said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْإِقَابِ. Heels are getting left out. That is, sometimes when we're making wuzu in a hurry, then we don't pay full attention. And there are other people who, unfortunately, their wuzu is just a slapdash wuzu. They don't pay at any time any attention to the wuzu. So with regard to the washing of the legs, when we are washing the toes, then in between the toes, that must also get properly, we must rub it. The walls of the toes, and also, it's a whole chapter or a whole book of its own, the shapes of the toes. Everyone, what different shapes of toes people have got. Anyway, that doesn't constitute our talk here. That's a whole volume of its own. But the walls of the toes must be also, just like letting water pass through, will not be enough. And then more important than that is the at the bottom, where the toes meet the feet, that little like a cavity, it's a bit raised up. If we are not careful, all that does not get washed. Water doesn't reach there. So we must be very careful. This bottom here, there we must rub it properly. And in between the toes also. We make khilal afterwards, but the khilal is just a khilal. But the walls of the toes, that must be also all completely. If one's hair's breath is left out dry, it nullifies the whole wuzu. So therefore, that area, we should always pay attention to it. And start washing from the front and then come to the back. Then the heels also must be washed. Must make sure, especially if like we're in a hurry or something, we are not paying attention, easily the heel doesn't get fully washed. And then the ankle, and all know where the ankle is, and including the ankle. So wash till before, above the ankle. And we always use the word wash. We don't just say pour water when making wuzu. So it is dalak, rub it. That is what is required. In fact, the masala is that if you take water and you pour it on your whichever limb you are washing, and a few drops, one drop minimum at least falls down, the balance you rub over it, then that will be also sufficient. If you don't pour water over every part of the body, but you rub it, that is what is required. So the ankle and above the ankle also. And the inside of the ankle, both legs, the inside is not so difficult. But the outside of the ankle, and especially a person who is old, a person whose stomach has come out, then his movement is not easy. So he should pay more attention to it, that the whole leg gets washed properly, and including the ankle. And then after washing the right leg, then make khilal. take your left hand and pass your finger, your small finger, through the toes again. But it must have been done properly before. And then afterwards again make the khilas. The same for the left leg also. Wash from the toes, coming in to make sure we wash our ankles, above our ankles. And the more higher we will go, the more will be shining on the day of Qiyamah. And when crossing full sirat, and that should be a major worry in our lives all the time, that I have to cross full sirat, a journey of 1500 years. And it was a journey thinner than a blade, sharper than a blade, thinner than a hair, and we'll have to cross that. وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. And everyone, nobody will be exempt from crossing full sirat. In fact, there is a narration that some people, righteous people, will be crossing very successfully. And they'll have covered 70%, two-thirds of full sirat. Then the place will come where ghibat will come into a person who had made ghibat. He did not make tawbah. He didn't ask for forgiveness. They will fall down there. And whoever falls from Jahannam, from full sirat, falls into the fire of Jahannam. And everyone will have to cross it. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion, sitting and making bayan. But at this point, he stood up and he said, "Oh, my dear brothers," referring to Jamaat brothers, those more engaged, responsible brothers, "it must not happen that people listen to us. They practice what we told them and they are gone to Jannah. And we have fallen, and from Pul Sirat they are asking us, what landed you there into Jahannam? How come you fell down? You told us what to do. We did what you told us to do. And yeah, we are going. We are going to Jannah. What happened to you?" So our own actions, whoever is in that position, Jamaat brothers, ulama, those who give advices to other people, we must be more particular about ourselves. But unfortunately, the opposite usually happens. All such people are less worried of themselves, more worried about others. And islah of the ummah of nobody can take place if we are only worried of other people. Islah will happen 100% when we worry about ourselves. And then we tell other people. That will have effect also. A lady came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and said that my little child, grandchild, is eating a lot of sweet things, sweets like we will say. Give him some advice. So he said, "Come back next week." Next week she went again. So he told the child, "Beta, child, why are you eating sweet? Don't eat, not good, don't eat." And left him. So the lady said, "That you could have told him last week also. What was the big thing you called him back?" He said, "I was also eating sweet things. So I gave it up for 1 week. Now when I tell him, it will have effect on him." And Abad, he left it after that. So what we have to make amal ourselves also. And there is a lot of detail in this. Abdul Wahhab, Sahib Haji Abdul Wahhab, rahmatullah alayhi, explained that give da'wat always to that which you are not doing, which you want to do, which you have to do, but you are still not practicing. Give da'wat to that. If you're giving da'wat to what you are doing, easily pride will, "I am doing. You people are not doing." And if you give da'wat to that higher level which you are not on, and then you'll feel guilty. "I'm not doing, I must do it also. I'm telling everyone, I'm not doing myself." And anyone who gives bayan with that jazbah, his own bayans will benefit him tremendously. And if we're giving bayan of that we are doing, and we're telling others, "You people are not doing it," then that person is on the road of destruction. Though he's giving bayan, he's in deen, but he's on the road of destruction. So Allah give us tawfiq to get the correct balance. And also Hazrat Muhammad Umar Sahib rahmatullah alayh should stress a lot on this ayat, that the ayat lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. It doesn't mean you mustn't say. It means you must make amal. It is tawbiq for you that what you're saying and you're not doing, you do it yourself. Doesn't mean we take the wrong meaning that I'm not doing, so I mustn't talk about it. No. A father who is a smoker also, it is his other faras to tell his son not to smoke. And if he doesn't tell his son, for smoking or his guna or whatever it is, makruh, whatever, that will be separate. And for not telling him, if a father is not making namaz, but he must tell his son, make namaz. And if he doesn't, then for not making namaz, that guna is separate. And not telling his son, that is a separate guna again. So we have to say it. And we must say it with the jazbah that I have to make amal. And a person who talks with that, and whenever we make bayan at the beginning, make dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, let me practice what I'm going to say. In that case, we will speak those things. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, that our wuzu we make correctly. And then read Durood Sharif, and then the fourth kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu. And then, Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin, waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. By that small sentence, two things we ask, min at-tawwabin, min al-mutatahhirin. What we could wash, we washed. And gunas went out from there with the last drop of water from under the nails. All the gunas have gone out. From the last drops of water that fall from the beard, all the gunas of the face, all the gunas go out. But the inside we couldn't wash. Our heart we couldn't wash. But with this dua, we cleanse the inside also. Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin, and very fortunate are those who are the tawwabin, the awwabin, the tawwabin. They are the degrees that we have to work for. Not the other wrong degrees, the right degrees that we become from amongst the tawwabin, and we come from the amongst the awwabin, those who turn to Allah Ta'ala, and who have a natural inclination of turning towards Allah Ta'ala. And Allah make us amongst those people. And also we had explained that when we make wuzu in our complex of our bathroom, it's not just the bathroom, it's a whole big complex. It's a whole big town there. What then, what is not included there? And all spread out so much. Anyway, the toilet is also part of it. So in that, there are, on one occasion, we have very Allah Ta'ala's great fadl and karam, and how to make shukr, we have no words. That the first time Hadhrat Ji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and the world ijtima took place in UK, when Hadhrat Ji also came, was in 72. And then at that time, Hadhrat Ji, out of his just kindness, his big-heartedness, he always kept me in his group. And where all the great, what we say, the big guns were there. And Maulana Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and then Maulana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib, Maulana Palanpuri, Bahadur Abdul Wahab, all the big ulama. And I don't know how, why and for what. And I was, even in age, I was the youngest there. And every other aspect. But then, Hadhraji asked this question, that yeah, the toilet and the bathroom is together. What do we do about our duas? All gave their different views, but the upshot of it was that you shouldn't read the duas there. So there are different views. One person, a good explanation he gave, is that, well, you go and eat food in that toilet. All the muck is, once you flush the toilet, all the dirt is gone. But still, your tabiat won't allow you to go and eat in the toilet. So when you can't eat in the toilet, then Allah's kalam, Allah's name, to take Allah's name, how can you take it there? Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, rahmatullah alayh, was staying in the jungle, not a village, a jungle. Just this one house was there. And he was teaching in Phulpur, which was perhaps 8-10 kilometers away. He should travel on horseback those days. And when he should pass the place where the farmers collect the dung of the cows, and you pass by there you should stop reading Quran. His mamool was from here 8-10 kilometers only reading Quran Sharif. But at those places he should stop. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was in Hazrat's khidmat, he was with him. And then he should tell him to read Quran Sharif in the places of dirt and filth. There is a fear of you losing your iman. You honor the word of Allah. Don't disrespect the word of Allah. Quran Sharif, Allah give us tawfiq to respect the Quran Sharif. And reading of the Quran also, Allah give us tawfiq to honor. These are not ordinary things. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. And yet the qasam which Allah Ta'ala is taking, very great qasam of the Quran Sharif. Allah is taking. Allah knows what is the Quran Sharif. We're fools rushing. Angels, they threat to put a step there. We are like just fools, we don't know, and we just do things. So Allah give us tawfiq. Another point is also very, that we can think, that even if the toilet is flushed, but the water, which is in the pan still, it is connected with that water. And there isn't any barrier in between it. It has its connection with that dirty, filthy water. Though, yeah, it is clean water, but it is connected with that. There is no in between where it's cut off. So to read the du'as in the toilet, we should avoid that. Or just simple, just separate the toilet. And it can be done very easily just by putting one curtain. And the curtain railing today, there is so much of technology. It's not a big job. Small job, just get a curtain railing. And once the curtain is drawn, yeah, we are all sitting. And our private parts we all have got, but we just got a flimsy cloth over. Now 100% permissible to sit, and we don't feel anything. We are sitting all with one another, but just remove the cloth that where our sitter is supposed to be covered. Now we're not allowed. So just hang that curtain, and it is separate now. And one place I went, well, that was in such a position, they just put a room divider. It's so easy, and then it became separate. It's not together now. So it's very easy to do it, and also if we read our du'as, then we'll read them always. If we're not reading them at home, then it goes out of our system, and these du'as are valuable du'as. The sunnah du'as is also very valuable, and the du'as Buzurgan-e-Deen have written for at the time of making wuzu, very, very valuable du'as. It will make our whole deen also valuable. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah. Then with regard to the fast, our fasting, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Allah has addressed His beloved ones, His chosen ones, which Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi should make tarjuma, Ya ayyuhal ashiqoon. And ishq is that which Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has explained. There is much more detail, but just a little glimpse of it. He said that, like, we all have got dunya's necessities. We have to eat, we need shelter, we need a house, we need transport, we need clothes, all those things we need. But when a person engages more in them, then he goes to the level, finally, of ishq. Like, for example, cars we need in our environment here. Public transport and how we have been put in one area, it's difficult. Though it is possible, but practical is to have your own car. Otherwise, you can get a taxi and you can travel, but it is cumbersome. You have your own car. But now, the car is a necessity. But you get involved in it, now you want your wheels, must be also what mags now you want. So you go up a step further. Now you want your sound system, you want to upgrade that. And in that sound system also, there is no limit then. So all these things carry on. Clothes you have to wear, it's a necessity, but when you start delving more into it, now you want brand names in your clothes. What difference does it make in the clothes? If you have a brand name and you have without a brand name. It's just that you're paying more money and it is just something in your head, stuck somewhere in your head that I've got brand name clothes, etc. Then you go more until this becomes ish. And that is now what becomes dangerous. That is on this which the Quran Sharif says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. They are amongst people who take idols. And yeah, Allah Ta'ala also see many places, in fact, perhaps all the places, Allah didn't refer to one idol. أَنْدَادًا, plural. And in fact, perhaps it's everywhere the plural. So people with a corrupt mind, they will say one idol is permitted. Plenty idols are not permitted. Like, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا الرِّبَا أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا. So many people have gone that route that compound interest is haram. The basic interest is not haram. A little bit. Whereas all, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. All types of riba is haram. So there is more discussion and detail on that. But to understand, so anyway, so those who have taken their idols as gods, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. The important point, يُحِبُّهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They go to this extent that it becomes like the love of Allah. And what is the love of Allah? What it should be? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. That those who have got iman, and like if you go in dunya's line, dunya's things become more lovable. You'll give more time, and it, you'll have ishq for it. That great passion you'll have for it. And today, I've made many enemies, and I'm not worried about those enemies also. They say, and mutu bi ghaydikum, no problem. And more enemies, because I touched a very dear one. Which dear ones? The sports. And then they couldn't take the sports. That's the after. And their holidays. They couldn't take that. Stopping us from our resorts and our holidays. But they can take it as they want to. The sports is a terrible thing. Allah gave us topic. We were also young. We also played a lot. But not so much. It shouldn't go to the limit that today. And supporting the kuffar teams. And teams which are in the UK, all that sport, and going like mad, like that one person, when he was coming to the Shaykh's Majlis, he stopped coming, asked his friend why. He said that he came home, he got sick in the hospital, coma. Then he was in a condition in his coma. He lifted his fist, and he took one famous soccer player's name, took his, he said, that's my idol, and he died. He died with that kalima of the soccer idol being his idol. And what kalima we are supposed to be reading. So Allah save us. This is where it lands a person. So this ishq that, and in this also understand, we say it's a small matter. You are sweating the small stuff. Why you worry the small thing? They are small things. But this is where it leads you finally. So we must be very, very careful. A person who grazes his animals near the borders, very soon the animal will go over. And the neighbors, they will start hitting that animal. They will throw stones at it, chase it out. If you stay in the center, in the middle, you are safe. So in the matters of deen, stay in the middle. There, why we want to be on the borders? Hey, stay in the middle. And don't worry for the comments of people that you are being too hard and too orthodox and too strict, etc. And in the akhirat, when we'll see that we who stayed on the borders, where our position is in akhirat. And those who tried in the humble way to try and stay safe, what their position, then forever and ever we will see what sorrow and what difference there are between the two groups. And the Quran depicts it in many places, what the two groups are they are in this dunya and what they will be in the akhirat. So let us open our eyes, inshallah. So anyway, so that was about the toilet. Then about our rozas, where Allah speaks to the believers, Ya ayyuhal ashiqun, those who are my dear, beloved ones, that they believe in me without seeing me. They believe in my Nabi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahaba that my brothers who will come. The Sahaba said, are we not your brothers? Said, you people are my Sahaba. And his brothers, those who will come afterwards, who haven't seen me and brought iman on me. And iman to this extent that they are prepared to give their lives for me also. And they have been those people who gave their lives for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the honor of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, for the honor of deen. So those are the dear ones. And a lot of virtues for those people. So those who brought iman, for them Allah says, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Rozas have been made for us on top of you. It has been put on you. You have been covered with rozas. Your whole body has been now given this command of roza. Every part of your body. And we discussed a little bit of each one, a little bit, which ulama normally explain. One is roza of the eyes, roza of the tongue, of the ears, the mind and the heart, and then the stomach. Roza of the stomach, and we were discussing that. And in that, one is that we don't overeat, and what we are allowed to eat, but also in moderation, also within its limits also. And also very important is the timings of eating. The righteous people, what we know when we were small, when they should not eat eating time. There is a time that now breakfast is 8 o'clock, lunch is 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, supper is 7 o'clock. No, eating time was when we feel hungry. If we didn't feel hungry, they wouldn't eat again. And even if it's eating time, but if they don't feel hungry, they wouldn't eat. But for us, we got our fixed times, whether we're hungry or not. And that also, when we are, there was Maulana Musa in Pitrati. Normani. Maulana Musa, Normani. Very jolly person. So when Ulema used to go there for imtihanat, our friend, he should entertain them in every way. In fact, at one time, when Qari Abdul Hamid Sahib, those who knew Qari Sahib, very, very serious, Sanjida Admi, very sober, he took a jamaat there. When they went there, then as they got off the jamaat, he welcomed the jamaat and he said, 1, 2, 3, and then he said that 10, 11 people, they all got onto the kumbi. Now let me give ghusl to the kumbi. Ghusl has become wajib now on the kumbi. A very jolly person. So anyway, so he said that we need with our food, every meal, we need achar, we need some sauce, spice, we need some juice. All this is lukma dhakir, to push the lukma down. If you are really hungry, just the roti comes and you start eating already. You don't need even the curry or anything. And you don't need all the chutney and all that. But if you're not hungry, now you have to force the food down. Now you need some chutney to help to force it down. Make it a bit more tastier. Now you need that little achar too. So our eating, every time we eat, we are not hungry. And therefore, now we need all the chutney and we need the sauce and we need the juice in order to help to push it down. If we are really hungry, it's a sign which intelligent people, hukama, have said, that if the curry comes first, you start eating without the roti. And if the roti comes first, you start eating without the curry. Two friends who were studying in Deoband, before our time, then they, after completing studies, they went their different paths in life. Then the one was in Delhi, and the other one was in Madras or somewhere. So he informed his friend, I'm coming to Delhi, I need some medical treatment, and if you could host me when I come. So he said, no problem, we were friends all along, you come, you stay here. Yeah. When they came, and the wife sent the food with her husband, and the rotis came, he finished the roti before the curry came. And when the curry came, then he finished the curry before the roti came. About 10 times like this. So then after, the wife said, who is this who has come? So he said, then he asked him why he came. He said that I've come because I've lost my appetite. I've come here to treat my appetite, to get an appetite. So then the wife said, tell him when he gets his treated and he gets his appetite, please, he mustn't come back here. If now without an appetite he's eating like this, then when his appetite will open up, then what is going to happen? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So our food, our time of eating must not be stipulated time. Unless they are such, we only ate so much and then that hunger comes again at that time. Then you eat on that, you maintain your normal schedule, you carry on. But when we overeat somewhere, then we shouldn't delay the next meal. So the quantity also, the times of eating, what we eat also. And the thing which is really worrying, this needs also a little bit of time, it's history, but few people perhaps still may remember, our meals normally was vegetables, dal, lentils. Meat was seldom in the menu. And the proper halal, tayyiban, the proper meat. Hakim still now say that meat you should have once in 10 days. And so people will get shocked here also. that you made enough enemies, you have to make more enemies now, stopping us from our meat also. Until they aren't the sinkers in the food, that food is not food there. That Sayyidu Ta'am al-Lahm, Lahm is the main. We are Muslims, we eat, we are not vegetarians, we don't eat grass, we eat meat. But meat, our stomachs are designed only for about, in 10 days, one meal of meat. And we who are eating for lunch, breakfast, supper, all the time we are eating meat. And we are eating, Allah make me mark, the rubbish meat. And the stomachs are not designed for that. All these terrible cases is all our unnatural lifestyle, our eating, our lifestyle. Now with all the everything, vitamin tablets, etc., all these things are destroying our health. They're not making our health. In the times of before, people had a slow life, but they had long lives. And they achieved something because they had long lives. We got a short life, a fast life. Hey, now we are fast, but we're still achieving the same what they, how much they could achieve, how much we. They had long lives. And their things were slow. They want a cup of tea to make that fire. It took that time. Wasn't just now you put on the electric kettle and in a minute or two already the water is boiling. That was out of the question. You want to cook a meal. I remember as a little child when my marhuma mother should get up about 1 o'clock and make the fire coal stove and then cook the whole meal at that time. And that time it was common curry khichdi for Sehri. She should cook the whole meal. After that we should all go and sleep. Allah make us maaf. No namaz in our room. Still small also, not baligh also at that time. But anyway, then she should wash all the dishes also. Clean the whole kitchen also. And today it's out of the, all that is just piled up. The maid will come, she will sort all that out. All that they used to do. So their lives, they had longer lives, slower lives. We got faster lives, shorter lives. The sum total of both is the same. It works out exactly. Like if you got a flu and you go to doctor, he gives you injection, he gives you antibiotics, you'll get better in 1 week. And if you don't go, you do some home remedy, you rest, you'll get better in 7 days. Yeah, it will take 7 days to get better. Then in 1 week, you'll get better. Or like Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, when Jamaats go out, and we tell them, oh, what we're going to have, mashwara, cooking, they say, okay, we'll have, somebody say biryani. Somebody says, no, curry khichdi. Then he says, curry khichdi, so long, you take the rice, you have to boil it, you have to add the haldi, all long. Biryani, you just take the meat, mix this here, and quickly, it's ready. Or like, for example, Hindus, they like very particular about their cleanliness. They bath every day. And Muslims bath once a week. So Manana should say, they bath after 24 hours. Muslim bath, Juma, he's bathing. Every week, every Juma he's bathing. And they take 24 hours, then they go and bath again. So it's a whole just play on these words. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to come to the right. So anyway, that was the diet, the common. And chicken was rare. And mutton, even more rare. And beef, if it's qurbani, well and good. But the steaks, etc., and prawns again, which is becoming also very common amongst good people also. Besides the Dini point of view, the Hanafi point of view, prawns are so unhealthy. The cholesterol that it contains, steaks, are so unhealthy. But that has become the staple food of so many of us. Not only some occasion of a da'wah, but even otherwise. So that many things we are eating, very, very wrong things we are eating. One of the major things, so chicken, this is a well-planned enemy's well-planned program to take us off all the veggies and all the da'wah and replace it with chicken. And what chicken? Not the ordinary chicken, which even if it's halal and tayyiban, the stomachs are not designed to have so much of chicken. And this, slaughterhouses, the commercial chicken, that is what is added to it is even worse. One good friend of ours, named Maulana, he was an inspector in one of the chicken slaughtering plants. So he told me himself, He says that after the chickens are slaughtered, everything, pieces are made, then they inject it with brine, which is a normal, it's a normal procedure. And government regulates how much of brine you can inject in there. So he said, you people know that this injection of brine causes diabetes and blood pressure. Then why are you people doing? They say, we've got nothing to do with the people's health. We look at rands and cents, money. Because by that brine, then the it blows up. The weight increases. It's all the water with some additives, vinegar, other things. It makes that meat to blow up and become more heavier. So more heavier, you sell more of it. Just by adding your brine, if the chicken was, for example, 1 kilo, by the brine, it becomes 2 kilos now, 2.5 kilos. So much more money you are making. And with when you inject it, then the whole chicken, the breasts now are more bigger in size, and the thighs also. And everyone got the taste. Somebody likes thighs more, and somebody likes breasts more. And I'm speaking of the chicken here. I'm not speaking of anything else. So the people, when they, now you see the friends when we are eating, those big, big breasts, not one, two they put in a plate. And you wonder how they're going to eat it, but before you know, it's all put away already. And the thighs, the big, big thighs, that the people go after. So with regard to this, try and cover it as soon as possible. Just give a little autobiography of a chicken, this broiler chicken. The first thing, it is born in unnatural conditions. It never sees sunlight. It never gets the rays of the sun, which are only goodness in the rays of the sun. In fact, a person, especially in winter, should sit 20 minutes as his age grows to get vitamin D from the sun. And many other things that come, but they are deprived of it totally. Their feet never touches Mother Earth, and that is another great thing also. They are born in those cages, foul pens, and they got a bright light on them, which shines on them their whole life. 36, 40 days. And this is nothing private or sucked out of the thumb. It's all on the internet. And anyone who has got access to internet, you can go and find all these facts there. So that is how they are. Then the feed they are given. The feed, one time, not long ago, we were in Nairobi, and our host, we were sitting with him in the car. We were going somewhere, waiting for the ladies to come. As we were sitting, the maid of the house walked past. So he told me, this maid here, she blankly refuses to eat this chicken. And when we asked her, persisted, she said she worked in the company where they make the feed of the chicken. And she said, I did not see with my hands the menstrual period, the dirty, filthy period pads of the woman. That is also thrown in their feed. The chickens that die in the process of being slaughtered, dead chickens are also thrown in that feed. Almost any and everything. Vaccines, a person might be very averse and opposed to vaccine, but it's in that feed, they put it already. Antibiotics, which you won't take, you won't think of taking it. Your doctor won't prescribe it for you. That's put in there also. And then afterwards, it's just given a nice texture, put in a nice packet, and all the labels and the writing on it. Now it's something very nice and clean. So that is their feed, which they eat their whole life. 24 hours they have to be eating all the time to grow them up quickly so that they can be sold and we can make more money. The quicker the turnover cycle, the more money we make. The whole motivation when it comes to commercial is rands and cents, is money. No, but no other thing is given consideration. Groups, private groups try to control these things, but they cannot. The whole motivation is just money. And the greed of money, no matter how much you eat, there is no limit for that. You just want more and more. Al-Mim Mazid, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you have one valley of gold, you'll want the second one. You have two, you'll want the third one. And your stomach, you can fill 100 stomachs with one valley of gold, thousands, millions of stomachs. But it won't be enough for you. You want more and more. So this is that. So that is what they are eating, and all the time. Finally, and not only that, they are eating their own feces also. And in that process, they do develop like boils, subsist on their body. That also they eat. All that filth they eat. And then when they are taken now to the slaughterhouse, they are transported again, like in a cramped. There are regulations, government regulations, but still they are very close. They have no freedom like. Once at one stage we wanted to do madrasa slaughtering at the madrasa, so we got this. When you open them, anyone who knows a chicken, the minute it is a bit free, it just runs. It's wild. It moves. But these were like half dead already. They had no life in them. And that is what we are eating. Those chickens which have like got no life. After that, they are now taken for the slaughtering. Now they are shackled upside down with their feet up. You think for yourself 1 minute that somebody is fastening your feet on top and you are lying upside down, your head at the bottom. Where must you keep your hands? That will be a big problem for you. And they are fastened like that. And then worse, it is they are given the punishment of Jahannam. Call the bones are put. They are chained up. That will be the condition of the people in Jahannam. Yeah, these poor things are put like that. And yushabuna fil hamim. They are dragged in that boiling water, which is the most common way of stunning this animal. They are stunning guns also, whatever. But the water and electric shock in that water, which stuns them. And stunning means brain dead. They are now brain dead. They still alive, therefore, muftis give permission. They are still alive, so you slaughter it after that, so it is halal. But they are brain dead. Because of brain dead, they can't give message to the body that we want blood in our head. The brain also gives message. But because it's brain dead, it can't give messages. And the chicken is now like dead, it looks like there's no pain on the chicken when it's slaughtered. But because it's brain dead, that is why. And when if it's not brain dead, it gives a message, not when the chicken or the goat or any animal kicking its legs, the tail also. The animals shake their tails violently. It is not because of pain the way it looks to us. It is because they've got the message, headquarters wants blood. And we must work hard. The last drop of blood, we must send it to the brain. And then all that, when the throat is slit, all that blood comes out. So that chicken has got no blood in it. And this other which is brain dead, and an animal that dies its own death, natural death, what we say. That is also haram. Everyone admits. And the illat of both, fuqaha have written, is the same. That animal that died naturally, its blood didn't come out of his body. And this animal that is stunned, also the blood doesn't come out. 1% of blood perhaps comes out when you slaughter. But 99%, and then you see it with your own eyes. When you're eating that chicken, the bones are black and they are soft. All the blood has gone in them. And a natural farm chicken, you'll see the bones are white and they are solid, hard. You can forget that you're going to chew on that bone. On this other chicken, it is a soft bone. All the blood is in it. And so that is what they go through. Then they are slaughtered. They have to be slaughtered four, the windpipe, the food pipe, and two veins that carry blood. Out of the four, three must be slaughtered to make it halal. The ideal thing is to slaughter all four, but at least three of the four must be slaughtered to make it halal. And that the slaughterer, he's slaughtering about 35, 40 chickens per minute. And he has to say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Now, sitting comfortably now, no mask on out, no chickens passing, no blood splashing. I try and read in 1 minute to 35, 40 times, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Also, only Bismillah. And his work is not 1 hour, he's got an 8 hour duty. And then he doesn't work the full 8 hours, he gets off also in between. But you, a person who will read so many times, Bismillah, he will be a wali of Allah. Even if you just read Bismillah all the time, and so much, and they themselves have signed many times affidavits, we can't read, we can't manage it. Those who became self-conscious, they felt that we are giving the Muslims to eat. They are Muslims, they are hired, they are Muslims. They say we are giving them haram to eat. They left their jobs also. That after that, it goes into the boiling water for de-feathering, to take off the feathers. Then the inside is still inside, the intestines, with all the waste and the dirt of what is in the stomach, it's inside. And then it goes in there, and with that boiling water, it all mixes. The blood mixed with everything, and now all the balance of the dirt mixes with the meat, mixes with the bones. And then after that, now it is packed nicely and put in a nice packet, certified halal. And now that makes it halal, after all this torture which it goes through. And we devouring that big chunks of the breast and of the thigh, and we let us think what we are eating. And when your food is not halal, then you can do what you want to, everything else. And this year, one brother from Durban wrote, and he said that in all the masjids of Durban where they are giving halim, he was from Durban, so he knows all of them, they have the meat that is used, is all that meat, the wrong meat. After that, now make your iftari, now carry on with your wabin and read your Quran and make tarawih and make dua whole night. When haram is gone in your stomach, what is left? There's nothing left. But we are not conscious. Allah give us tawfiq to become conscious of this, what we eat. Very important. What you put in your mouth, it's a very important matter. Why are we just putting any and everything in our mouth? And little children, what they get, they just straight goes in their mouth. We still the same. Bachpan ke hoge, lekin abhi bachpan nahi jata. We still just anything we see, put it in the mouth. Anything just nicely appealing, it looks like, in the mouth. No, we must consider what we put in our mouth. It controls our thinking. It controls our akhlaq. It controls our desire for ibadah. It controls our desire for guna. What we put in, everything is according to that. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, that we keep our roza, what is called roza, then see the fruit we will get. And if we just do not worry what we eat, and we are not even keeping the roza of any of the parts of the body, that basic roza, our faras will be off our head, but we won't get any real benefit. It will be just that you stayed hungry, and that is all. Or you stayed the whole night in ibadat, and only you got the tiredness of it, but nothing of that night's ibadat. Allah give us tawfiq.